Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast. My name is Ryk van die Kerk. The investment professional I talk to today is Anthea Gardner of Cartesian Capital. Anthea, welcome to the show. We are seeing winds of positive change blowing over markets. The JSE jumped nearly 4% on Thursday, and it's really being linked to a positive investor mood following the election of Cyril Ramaphosa as the new president of South Africa. What do you think of this?
Hi, Ryk. Yes, no, I think it's wonderful. So, it's probably my job to say to you, well, we've got the budget coming up. We've still got Moody's downgrade, potential downgrade hanging over our heads. But I must say, I do feel like this positive move is warranted. I think one of the things that's been holding our market back is really just the negativity and the uncertainty around the politics. You know, in the last 3 years, we haven't really kept up with global markets. We really have lagged. And so it's a shame. But at least now there's positivity coming through. And I think we all know that South African, they are good value companies in South Africa that didn't perform just because we were nervous about what was going to happen. I mean, you just think about the mining charters, probably the big standout one. And I guess the question now is, can we catch up? I guess, my biggest worry, or the thing that keeps me awake right now, is where in the global commodity cycle we are. Because I think we're closer to the downturn than we are to the uptick. And let's assume that everything goes through cycles. You know, you are seeing great global growth and all that sort of thing. But I would say for South Africa now to take advantage of this commodity rally, fully take advantage of the commodity rally we've had, we're going to have to kind of hunker down and get on with it. And not just, obviously, with that kind of, and I don't know if we can play catch up for sure, but there are still very good value stocks, or I tell you what, more certainty than anything else.
So what you're saying is we hit rock bottom investor confidence under President Jacob Zuma, and just his replacement has reignited confidence. If you look at our performance, you know, last year specifically, we saw all the internationally exposed stocks performing really well, and especially Naspers, and which moved the market up significantly. Do you think we can see a broader positive performance amongst the smaller and mid-cap stocks this year just because of a new president?
Okay, so I'm always nervous of small and mid-cap stocks just because of the volatility. And you would have seen on Thursday when the market rallied, the smaller mid-caps rallied particularly hard because of the liquidity. And if anything turns, they turn equally hard down. So, you know, they have this very kind of strong excess, if you like, correlation. I would say, yes, we can see, I'm more inclined to say the local stocks rally. So the banks and the retailers, and just kind of logically, not even fundamentally analyzing the share, I think, if you are a businessman in South Africa and you weren't sure about the country, or if you were a foreign investor and you weren't sure about how things were going to go and you weren't sure about politics and what the next big move was going to be, then it does detract or it does stop you from investing. So suddenly now you've got somebody who's come in, a new president who's come in, who everyone really believes can yield the power that he has. I mean, he's already pulled out his sword at Eskom, and so we can hope that that'll continue. Sure, he's got a lot of fixing to do. Wow, it's an incredible task ahead of him. But I think just by having business people believe that the country will turn around and that there won't be these crazy surprises and that maybe corruption will kind of be tempered. I don't think it'll ever come to a halt. They want to invest in local companies again, and that even the consumer will feel positive again. I mean, the euphoria we're feeling this week surely has to somehow filter into the consumer and the consumer going out to spend again. I mean, I can only hope that they will manage their indebtedness. That's obviously a big issue. But yeah, I think the euphoria is well-placed, actually.
But it's not only on the JSE. We also saw the rand strengthen against the dollar specifically, although there was a bit of dollar weakness, but also against the pound and the euro. And I'm looking at the capital markets, the R186, currently at 8 6.15%. And in December, just before Ramaphosa's election, it was 9.4%. So maybe that is the biggest indicator of investor confidence returning.
Sure. Of course, we do have this kind of interest rate disparity in the market at the moment where the US is looking to raise and we're looking to cut. And that is probably a worry a little bit because money will flow to where the highest yields are. There's no doubt about that. That's a good sign, I guess, for us that the yields have come in a bit and that, sure, you know, it feels like the foreign money is going into the bonds and local money, or even the equity funds. In fact, I think there was a lot of ETF buying, are going into equities. So the question, I guess you're asking me is it sustainable, right? You know, it's a tough one to call, but I do think we should see the equity market continue to be strong this year, especially the local shares.
You know, obviously, they are not as expensive as some of the international counters, despite the correction we've seen in the past few weeks.
I know you've seen kind of one of the big counters are the banks, actually, which have been relatively cheap. You know, I remember looking at Barclays a couple of months ago, and it was on a 7% dividend yield and a 7 forward price earnings ratio. I mean, like, where in the world do you get an excellent bank for so cheap? Nowhere. And so you've seen when the confidence comes back, how investors are running to the cheap shares. And I think, sure, there'll be, you know, it'll come in a bit, the PEs will come in a bit, they'll kind of normalize again. But if we can, and especially the banks, now that I'm talking about the banks, if they can continue to kind of print these mid-teen, and in some cases like FirstRand, low 20 return on equity, then I think the support for our local market will be there, actually.
Let's look at your equity fund, top shareholding in Naspers. That's not surprising. Many fund managers love the stock, and it's been very kind to many portfolios in recent years. What is your current perspective for Naspers?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit confused as to why Naspers has come off so much. And I know one of the big banks wrote a report that was seemingly negative and then retracted it and said, the analyst actually said, he didn't say, well, I'm retracting what I'd said negative about the share, but, you know, there's still value in the share, which I kind of went, yes, we all knew that all along. And so what I'm trying to say is, what worries me or what concerns me is why the share is trading at such a big discount, actually, because at 3,000 Rand a share, where it was trading a couple of days ago, it's on a 45% discount to the holdings, the underlying holdings. And even if you, and sure, I understand that MultiChoice is probably going through a tough time. And, you know, we do have concerns around Naspers is holding in Tencent, and there's always this question around, do we or don't we really understand what Naspers is doing? By sheer, very simple mathematics, if you add up all the little bits underlying in Naspers, it should be trading well above 4,000 Rand a share. So I'm going to hold on to it a bit. It does worry me that it's such a heavyweight, particularly in the index and quite similarly in my portfolio. Because, you know, even though we'd like to think we're not benchmark huggers, the point is that I kind of have to hold it. And if the market rallies because of Naspers and I'm not holding it, then I'm underperforming not just by a few basis points, but hugely by percentage points. So it's a very difficult one to decide what level you want to be in. And to be honest, I tend to trade it quite a bit just because of that.
But it hasn't performed that poorly. Over the last 30 days, it dropped about 6%, but it's up over 90 days, nearly 7%, 6 months, nearly 20%. I think the worrying factor for me is the discount. Why do we see a discount of up to 40%? Saxo Bank, at the beginning of the year, they make these outrageous forecasts. One of them, by the way, was that South Africa will experience a renaissance and that the rand could strengthen significantly. So they are definitely in play on that one. One of the other outrageous predictions was that Tencent will become the biggest company in the world. And that is a very, very bullish view on Tencent. But yet you see one of the major shareholders just, you know, trading at a 40% discount.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely the nervousness around South African investors. You know, South Africa is such a small market. And even though Naspers is such a big share, as a foreigner, do you really want to be buying huge stake in Naspers? And so many reasons that it trades at a discount, I think probably the fact that it's Naspers and it's based in South Africa is one of them. But yeah, it is a bit of a concern about why discount just won't narrow. And, you know, it's become quite apparent why they won't unbundle the 10 cents stake out of Naspers, and it's got to do with how it's held, how Tencent is held.
The ownership structure.
Exactly. So now that we all understand that, is the question then, are we nervous that the Chinese government is suddenly going to change their mind and do away with the structure? I don't think so.
It takes a brave person to bet against Naspers. Exactly. It has shown over the last 20 years has been an absolute phenomenal success. Let's look at your other holdings, AVI, FirstRand and Bidcorp, you know, industrials and obviously FirstRand in the financial services space, but South African focus. So you're bullish on those, following our previous discussion.
I am absolutely bullish on those, just simply because they've been trading at such huge discounts. And I do believe that things will turn, and when they do, it'll be good for the economy. The rand, it's really great for a change, I must say, to see a strong rand and a strong market. You know, we're always talking about how South African market is so rand hedged. And obviously, if we cut interest rates and the US raises interest rates, you're looking at a weaker rand, in which case it's going to have a negative impact on it's going to have an immediate negative impact on the shares. So I'm going to watch that. And I certainly think there will be speed bumps. But medium to longer term, I should say, yes, I'm very bullish on South African shares at the moment. And of course, there are some that are particularly company specific, you know, like Comair, for example. It's not so much the great South African story, because nobody likes to hold airline shares when the oil price is so volatile.
Yeah, Comair seems to be an overweight share in your portfolio.
Yeah, more so today because it's had such a good rally. But the story there really is about the company. It's about the management of the company. It's about how they're growing the business, how they've diversified kind of away from simply airlines. They've vertically integrated, so they've bought the food business, and that alone will save tens of millions of rands every year. And then they're also less reliant on the oil price than most airline companies are. And then, of course, we've got the SAA court case hanging over their head, which I'm fairly confident, and I sound like Eric Fent at the moment, that they will win. So, and I don't think that's at all priced into the share where it is today.
Just lastly, the rand a year ago, after, you know, some of the cabinet reshuffles, you know, the rand really plummeted around 15 rand against the dollar. There was a belief that we will never see a stronger rand. People took a lot of money out of South Africa at inflated levels, 14 rand north, even when it became under, you know, strengthened to below 14 rand. You know, people thought it was very strong, took money out. Now suddenly we are approaching, you know, 11.50, and many people are going long. It's just such a volatile currency, and you don't need to include the rand really as a factor in investment planning.
Yeah, exactly, Rick. I think the last sentence is exactly right. When you're planning your investments, the most important thing to understand is where your assets and your liabilities sit. And if you have liabilities in South Africa, then your assets or your earning power must sit here as well. Risking that, it's a big thing. And I always tell my clients, because you're absolutely right, when the rand goes to 15 or 16, then the phone rings nonstop and everybody wants to take money offshore. But when the rand's at 11.50, nobody thinks about doing it. So I don't know where the rand's going to go. I honestly have no idea. And so I am making my investments based on the companies and company-specific financials and what they're doing, rather than based on where I think the rand's going to go. Obviously, it kind of almost does move in tandem. You know, if I think that we're going to have stronger rand, then obviously, the consumer is going to do well. The economy is going to do well to a point, of course, because a too strong a rand doesn't help us at all. And then you want to be kind of in the local banks. And if you think it's going to go weaker, then I guess. But to try and guess it is near impossible for me. It's
Well, thank you, Anthea. Thank you for coming into studio. And hopefully we'll have another very good year for markets and for the right reasons, because of good economic performances.
Thanks, Drake. Holding thumbs.
That was Anthea Gardner. She is of Cartesian Capital.